Ben the man for land, Parsons from RE/MAX Property Pros, with us for our Monday morning conversation. Good morning once again, Ben.
Hey, good morning. Back again.
Yes, that's okay. That's okay. I'm glad it works out this way. We can expand on what we talked about earlier, start something brand new. And and any of us, we apologize for not saying the Finnish pronunciation for that road that you've got that property listed on now. Ahola. Or something like that.
I think it was Ahala.
Ahala.
But,
yeah.
You know, I'm not Finnish. I have absolutely zero Finn in me. So,
yeah.
You know, please forgive me. Maybe my tongue doesn't work that way.
Yeah. It's, no offense is intended. That's all. But just a couple of German guys trying to get through the day here today saying things right, right?
That's right.
Well, Ben, thanks for being with us here this morning in the studio. We're going to talk about land. You, your handle, Ben the Man for Land Parsons. And you come by that handle very honestly. You've been walking the land, and you specialize, I guess. Is it fair to say that you specialize in land sales?
You know, I do it all.
Yeah.
I've done everything, residential, commercial, you know, but vacant land. And really, it's because of my background as a forester.
Yeah.
You know, I've got 25 years now under my belt as a professional forester. And stumbling into real estate was, in a way, kind of an accident about 9 years ago. But it quickly sucked me in. So I'd say for the last, you know, 7-8, I've been pretty much full-time in real estate. And, you know, forestry, I love it. I do miss it. And maybe that's a retirement gig.
Yeah, you never know.
You never know. But I have definitely found that my experience in forestry has easily transferred over into real estate. So if you've moved a few times, bought a few houses, sold a few houses, you know, residential is kind of an easy thing to, and none of it's easy, but it's an easy thing to slide into because, you know, been there, done that.
Yeah.
Forestry is one of those things where not everybody does that. And even someone who's passionate about hunting and pursuing, you know, game species, there's a lot there that folks really don't understand. Just because you like to, you know, tag a white-tailed deer or a turkey or something, it's still, there's a lot to know.
And that's why people go to school to get professional credentials, to learn all about the ins and outs of what makes a piece of property the way it is because of what's already there. And with your background, you can read that almost immediately, I would assume.
Yeah, you know, it's from a residential standpoint, you know, there's a lot of us that are well-versed in buying, selling homes,
right.
What folks look for, because we all live somewhere,
right?
You know, we're not living in a tent,
right?
But when it comes to land, especially, I think I got a couple steps up.
Yeah, I think so too, and I think you've proven that over the years in a lot of different ways. So, with that in mind, let's concentrate a little bit on land here. People that are sitting on a piece of land right now, Ben, they're contemplating, what do I do with this? Am I going to keep this in the family? Am I going to keep it as an investment? But I'm going to sit on this land one way or the other until I decide what I really want to do. What should people be doing with those pieces of land right now? They're not ready to sell necessarily. Maybe they're getting ready to sell it, but they're not ready just yet. So let's talk about that a little bit. People that are sitting on these tracts of land, what's the best way to maintain them so they're good to go to sell? And what are things that people can be doing right now to help that process?
Yeah. You know, the cool thing about land as an investment is most of the time, even if you do nothing, it's still going to be worth more in the future than it is right now. So you can just let it sit there and let it do its thing. You don't have to manage it. You don't have to fix it. But you can, you know, the dirt's always going to be there. But there are things that you can do now to short-term or even long-term increase the value. I mean, right now is prime time for invasive species control.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we've got a handful of things. I'm seeing a lot of giant hogweed, the wild parsnip, you know, the garlic mustard, the list goes on and on and on of things that we can be, you know, pulling and cutting and spraying. Foliar sprays are very effective right now. And, of course, you know, you get into a thicket and you're actually brush mowing or cutting that, you can apply, you know, pesticide to the stumps as well. So it's a good time right now for invasive species control, whether it's a chemical or mechanical. We want to be really careful about mowing, though, because the one, the Canadian thistle, that's an invasive here, that one can propagate itself very easily. It's one of the ways that it spreads. So if you go running over these Canadian thistles with your mower or brush hog, you can actually be spreading thousands of those. And a good example of this is Highway 70 from Eagle River to, say, like Tipler, Long Lake.
Okay, you know, going east.
Towards Florence, yeah, east. Once you get a little ways out of town, you're going to notice, especially this time of year, all these Canadian thistles, they have a beautiful purple bloom on the top of them. But, you know, when the road maintenance departments would brush hog the weeds, you know, for the sake of safety.
Right, right.
You can see the deer
right,
coming,
yep.
You know, and they're not hiding in the brush and popping in front of you while you're driving. But when they mow those Canadian thistles, it spreads all those little pieces. Well, those little pieces propagate into new plants.
Okay.
So right now is a great time to be spraying. Actually, a month ago when you first saw them would be a great time to be spraying those before mowing them.
And this is where a guy like you that has some education under his belt really comes in handy and can be you can be used as a tool by property owners to make sure that the maintenance is going good and getting ready to sell. Case in point here, on our property, we have a one-acre prairie. And it's full of wildflowers. It's just, when I sit and look at it, Ben, on my porch, I call it my medicine chair. Just sitting there looking out at that field, it brings me so much peace and enjoyment. It smells like a flower shop on my porch. What we did was I did a little research. There's a little bit too much goldenrod out there, so I was thinking, how do I mitigate some of this goldenrod out there? And so I did some research, and they told me that what I read was is that if you mow that thing, brush hog, the whole deal, early in the year when the stuff is about 6 to 8 inches high, brush hog the whole deal. And then that's going to be the first strike against the goldenrod. Then when it starts to come up and it gets the yellow heads, then you're just going to have to get out there with the loppers and cut the heads off. And that may put an end to the goldenrod. You may have to do that 2 years in a row. Sometimes it works the first year. So we had the brush hogging done, and here's what I'm finding out. I'm starting to see some goldenrod heads out there now, so I'm going to have to get out there with the loppers. But one of the other things I'm seeing is there were plants that we haven't seen before. Since we did the brush hogging, it seems like we've gotten rid of a lot of stuff that was maybe choking some of the other natural stuff out.
Right.
And so now we're starting to see that coming up. So moral of the story is, you just don't want to go out there and start chopping randomly. There's a time and a place for doing this kind of thing if you want to maintain it properly. So that's what I'm getting out of what you're telling us here.
Absolutely. And now's a great time to be learning those forbs.
Sure.
You know, there's so many tools available now. You know, Google Lens, there's all kinds of photo apps where you can take a picture of something and with pretty good accuracy, you know, you get a full report of what this plant is, what it's good for. Is it invasive? Is it a noxious weed? Even nutritional value. You know, some of these apps, the pay apps too, can get really deep into nutritional value of certain species. I know a lot of folks that plant, we call them food plots or wildlife plots.
Yep.
You know, you till them up, you disc them, and you're throwing out rye and brassicas and, you know, beans and corn, and just trying to get things that we know of, you know, as more of an agricultural type of product that provides, you know, nutrition.
Is that the kind of stuff when they say, I know that places sell this food lot premix stuff.
Yes.
Is that's what's in that?
Yes. Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Clovers and brassicas
and
rye.
Got it.
You know, things that pop up pretty quickly. And as a matter of fact, if someone is, you know, if they have a food plot that either is cleared or they're clearing something that they want to be able to harvest an animal out of this fall, now is the time to be planting this stuff, you know,
okay,
your fall and your winter plots. But it's good to learn the native forbs that are out there, because there's a lot of plants that actually provide more nutritional value for the wildlife, more protein, more nutrition for antler growth, for health, for milk production, for shell hardness, that, you know, all these things that contribute to wildlife populations that are native.
Sure.
That we have right here. And just like you mentioned, the goldenrod.
Yeah.
You know, maybe just taking a little bit of time, have some, foliar sprays or mechanical removal. You know, now's the time to learn that stuff and help to, you know, perpetuate the native species. It wants to be there anyway. That's why it's native.
So it's all about, it's not about necessarily eliminating one thing to make room for another. It's about achieving balance.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. And in some situations, maybe the soil doesn't, you know, support the species you're going for.
Sure.
And you have to get in there and just help it get a start, you know. And animals are like us too. We like a little variety. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it's to think about all the fish fries that are available up here, and this one's a little different, and this one has perch, and this one's whitefish, yep. and this one's cod, this one's haddock. And, you know, I think animals are the same way. They're probably more nutritional driven than flavor.
Than taste, yeah.
But, you know, when they know when their body needs something, where to get it.
So you're sitting on a piece of land. Right now is a good time to get out there and get that soil tilled up, get that stuff planted. So that, and then it'll be ready to go this fall hunting season is what you're saying, yeah, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Ready for the deer to move right in and start their buffet. Yeah. What are some of the other things that, when it comes to the invasives, though, Ben, where do you have a good idea of where somebody can go to find out, okay, what stuff do I want here? I'm seeing this other stuff. Do I really want that there? Is there a good place to go to find out that information?
Oh, gosh, there's tons of apps. There's tons of information available online. We have a lot of local expertise here, too. I mean, we have some wonderful certified arborists in our community that are very knowledgeable when it comes to, you know, trees and shrubbery sure. and how to control those and actually even offer those services as you know, part of their business. You know, I can be a wealth of information, but I may not be the guy that's out there offering right. the clearing and planting services. You had mentioned, movement. Well, wildlife movement is also a good thing that we can work towards steering right now.
Okay.
You know, we had mentioned, you know, I moved. I'm on a much larger piece of land now. And one of the things I do if I have a spare hour here or there is I had put the brush blade on my weed whacker.
Okay.
And I got a bigger weed whacker and with a blade on it. It's meant for handling, you know, small finger diameter trees, brush, things sure. like that. So I'm starting to clear ATV wide trails, you know, cutting that open. And every time I go, you know, into the property to expand that trail a little bit, I'm finding all kinds of fresh animal sign, wildlife sign, tracks and droppings and things. And they are curious. You know, it seems like exposed soil, freshly cut vegetation. Once the noise stops and you're out of there, they really come check things out.
Hmm.
This is a great time of year where you're not going to spook away maybe a giant resident buck. But if you create pathways on your property to kind of direct them into certain points, you know, pinch points and things, then it's a great time to open those up and get those animals to start developing patterns so that when season opens, you're not creating that disturbance. They've settled back into the patterns and into those trails that you've created.
I find this very interesting, Ben. I'm not hunting anymore, but I'm observing animals on my property. And I did the same. I mowed a nice path around the whole prairie so we can go out there, walk the dog and such like that. The deer go right to that. They don't even bother with going through the middle of the field anymore. They are. It's like they're attracted to those trails. And I guess I wasn't aware that I was actually influencing the movement of deer by doing that. But you're saying that that's exactly what you're doing.
Absolutely are. And once they start getting used to using a certain area, a certain pathway, they will continue doing that.
You can funnel them right to your stand.
Well, you can influence them.
Influence, okay.
Yeah. I don't know. It's not quite that easy
okay.
As a funnel. And another thing, too, is you mentioned mowing. You know, when you mow that, what's coming back after you mow is nice, new, fresh,
yeah.
succulent, tender growth.
Oh, that's what they're looking for, too.
So it's kind of like refilling the buffet bar.
Sure, absolutely. Restocking the old salad bar. Ben the Man for Land Parsons from RE/MAX Property Pros on with us. We're talking about what you can be doing with your land right now. If you're planning on hunting on it this fall, if you're planning on maybe getting it ready to sell, one way or the other, Ben's got some good tips here this morning. When it comes to a cut, is there any special rules for cutting a trail as far as width or anything like that makes it more appealing to wildlife one way or the other?
One of the things that I personally have noticed over the years is that, you know, you can clear a nice big trail trying to influence, let's just take whitetail, for
sure.
instance. So you'll have the does, the fawns, you know, the yearling bucks, the two-year-olds, they like using those paths, but the older, more mature bucks, it's almost like they like a little bit of brush touching them.
Yeah.
You know, they like feeling that, you know, cover a little more secure, a little tighter around them. But I've also noticed too, you know, unfortunately we have an invasive species here called buckthorn.
Yeah.
Creates these big thickets. Some of the native species like hazelbrush and tag alder, you know, get pretty thick as well.
Sure.
But as you're looking for these trails, you know, the trails that are beat down on the ground, that's everything, right? That's you know, all the deer, the bear, the everything's using those. But look up a little bit. You know, get about chest high, about where those antlers are going to be.
Oh, okay.
And if you notice the brush kind of, you know, not just being clear down at the bottom at the footpath, but look up a little bit. And you're going to see that, okay, well, here's where the big bucks like to use, but because the brush is kind of cleared out because of the, you know, moving the antlers through there. So
improving the habitat, first of all, I would assume that some of these rules, now you like to spend a lot of time in the turkey woods, too. Do the same rules apply for turkeys as it does to white-tailed deer?
Not always.
Okay.
So I heard a guy, an old wildlife management guy, say turkeys live by their eyes, deer live by their nose.
Oh, okay.
So there's a lot of overlap when it comes to, you know, what they like to eat and habitat. But and one of the things that I've noticed here is that wild turkey tend to gravitate towards pine forests at the edge of wetlands. And I'm not sure why that is, but it's kind of reminiscent of the southern U.S., where you have a lot of swamps down south,
sure,
where the turkeys are kind of used to having that swampland. But in the area that I'm originally from, you know, in the heart of the Appalachians, we would find deer in the thickets and turkey in the big, mature hardwood forests. So here I think, you know, we definitely have those big hardwood forests. You know, you're either in an oak pine stand, or you're in more of a northern hardwood that has a heavy maple component to that. Mm-hmm. That can get big and open, but it just seems like the turkeys here really like to gravitate towards those pine, either native or planted pine plantations. That's at the edge of those tag alder thickets. That seems to be what they like. But yeah, if you take into consideration, well, which species are you targeting? Is it grouse? Is it turkey? Is it deer? Is it bear? You know, learn what type of habitat that they prefer, and then you can always gear your management towards that. But yeah, just remember, turkeys live by their eyes, deer live by their nose.
That's something to remember. When it comes to the real estate component, now it's great that you have all this knowledge, but now when it comes to either buying or selling land, like you've been talking about here, for somebody that's looking for the piece of land and they want to say, you know what, this Ben, the man for land, he knows what he's talking about here. What's the process of getting you working for them? How do you like to work with people who are looking for a piece of property first?
Yeah, you know, just anyway, call, text, email is all a good way to get a hold of me. Give me a brief overview of what you're looking to do. You know, are you looking to sell? Are you looking to improve the value? Are you looking to buy? What are you looking for?
Okay.
You know, there's an educational process, there's an informational process, but a lot of it is about just listening. You know, what's the client's goals? And sometimes people are willing to pay more for a chunk of land that is ready to go. I want to do, I want to drive up from my house, park my pickup truck, climb in a stand, and be done.
With your experience, is there a ratio that you're noticing as far as people that do want everything ready to hunt right now, or as opposed to people that want something to work on for a little bit? Is it a simple mix?
Most. It's really wild because that's not me.
Okay.
I want things the way I want them based on my knowledge and experience. So
sure.
I would rather buy something that's raw, untouched, unmanaged, start from scratch. And I get it. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of knowledge. It takes some expense. But it seems like folks are willing to pay more for something that is turnkey, ready to rock and roll, versus buying something that that they can manipulate and manage themselves.
That's not too much different from buying and selling homes. I mean, a lot of people, right, some people like a handyman special. Other people would say, you know what, I've worked too hard anyway. I just want to move in and start relaxing and enjoying.
Right. You're exactly right. And the same goes with residential real estate as well.
Mm-hmm.
Folks like move-in ready. Most buyers for homes, they think, I can paint. But more than paint, I don't want to.
Now combine the best of all worlds. Somebody wants a piece of property that's ready to hunt, and they want a spot that they can build their dream home on as well. And, boy, you can take care of the best of all worlds when they talk to Ben the Man for Land Parsons.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think time is money.
Yeah.
And I get it. You know, when someone's got maybe a lower budget and they're willing to do more work and things like that, a lot of times those type of buyers take up the most time. But it seems like those are the most fun transactions. you know, where you get to listen to them verbally think of, oh, I can do this, I can do that. What do you think of this? What do you think of that? I mean, the perfect example is, you know, the one that we have up the road here on Ahullo Road.
In Triple I.
Right, yeah. Exactly. I mean, and I sold the 40 on the opposite side of the road from this when I was a brand new agent. It was one of the first properties that I sold. Had an off-grid cabin on it. The guy that bought it, he's still there, loving life. You know, it's his vacation home. And mm-hmm. He's actually looking to be up here on a more full-time basis as well here in the near future. But, you know, when I call him up and said, hey, just to let you know, this one's on the market now if you want to expand your acreage ownership. And he's like, oh, gosh, it's so thick. And I said, to be honest with you, it's really not. The meadow is really like a field. Now, granted, it's not flat. You know, you've got the humps of grass and high and low, and there's a few rocks here and there. I think maybe at one point in time, you know, in the 20s, turn of the last century,
okay,
it was probably farmed.
Okay,
I would guess when you look at the timber that's there and the type of soil and grasses that are there. But if someone were willing to take the time to get in there with a piece of equipment, it doesn't take much. Most guys are charging about $200, $250 an hour with a skid steer with all those fun attachments.
Yeah.
Put in a little path. Now, granted, the DNR does not like to see permanent stream crossings, so you got to be mindful with that. Maybe something temporary. You know, build something that you can flop over the creek, walk across, ride your ATV across, pull it out of the way when you're not using it. But this property is one of those kind of a handyman special.
Okay.
Where the soil's great. The vegetation there is great. The accessibility is awesome. The location is awesome. Just needs a little bit of work as far as accessibility through the property. And you've added so much value.
And so to equate that to a home sale, it's got good bones.
Right.
Yeah.
Great bones.
And so, again, another reason why I think it's really important to have a guy on your side like yourself, Ben, is that for a lot of agents that may not ever get out of the car, they go by and they say, boy, that's a thick cover. How are we ever going to get in there? Going with a guy like you that's actually willing to get out of the car and walk through it and say, well, it looks bad, but in reality, it's really not. Again, that's, I think, where you're set yourself apart.
Yeah. One of the things that really stick in my craw is when someone is asking me about, can you tell me more about this piece of land? And it's another agent's listing. And you can tell that all the pictures were either taken from the road or what I think is just as bad as snapping pictures outside your car window is only having drone photos.
Oh, yeah.
I get it. You can see a lot with a drone photo.
Sure.
They're definitely the lipstick on a listing. But if all of the pictures on this listing are only drone photos or right from the road, you can tell that agent has not been through there. They've not found, you know, the oak trees. They've not found the travel corridors. They've not found the watering holes. They've, you know, so, and, you know, and some agents, I get it. They say, you know what? That's not my forte. Let the guy that's focused on wildlife go in there and discover that on their own.
Sure.
But once again, time is money.
Yeah.
So if someone's looking to dump that much money into a piece of hunting land, give me a head start. You know, at least point me in the direction. Am I looking in the northwest corner, southwest, northeast? You know, where am I going to find what?
You want a head start on buying or selling a piece of land? Call Ben the Man for Land Parsons from RE/MAX Property Pros at what number?
715-550-5683, or shoot an email to benthemanforland@gmail.com.
I think we failed to cover some of the stuff, but I also think we talked about some things we didn't discuss before we started, so I hope this was a good one.
Absolutely. It's the beauty of what we do, Jeff.
Outstanding. Ben, thanks for being here this morning. Have a good rest of your day.
You as well.